Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland, and I'm really glad you took the time out of your day, the busy schedule, to come be a part of this program. It's such an honor to have you here with us. And I'll tell you what another honor is. I've got a guy here that is going to bring the stuff this week. A lot of questions that are really hot topics today in our world, between Nephilim and giants and, you know, aliens and all that kind of stuff. So Rick, is the stuff I've been seeing that you've been doing online, it's just like, it's captivating.
Well, thank you.
And the whole thing with Noah's Ark and finding Noah's Ark. And I don't know that a week's going to be enough to get all this in, because it is really fascinating stuff. And I'm really glad that you're here. And too, remember, you can always go to our website and download all the notes from this week at kcm.org/notes. And you can go back and look at the notes, and we may be able to put your pictures and some videos up there.
Oh yeah, we can give you everything.
Where you can also like see again, because we're going to show some stuff this week that you're going to find really interesting. But I'm so glad to have you, Rick. I mean, we were just talking. I know we've been together at least 30 years, right?
Oh, because more than that.
I came to Minsk 30 something years ago.
Yeah, more than that.
How long has KCM and Rick Renner been tied together?
Since 1993.
Wow.
Since 1993.
Wow.
Your mother called me and she said, we need to speak to you and Denise. So we flew down here, and that day they became our partner and we became your partner. And we've literally been working together all these years. And John, I always like to take a moment to say that I know a lot of the inner workings of KCM because I've helped manage your work in the former Soviet Union. Uh-huh. And KCM is such a good steward with the funds given by their partners. It never ceases to amaze me how you are so careful to manage those funds and you hover over them. You know, people can give their money anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And when people give their money to your ministry, it is a great privilege. And KCM has always...
It's a great responsibility.
...always been so wise in the management of those...
Well, Dad, you know, Dad and Mom are all about integrity. And it was great for me to grow up in that, you know, because I've taught my kids the same thing. Honor, integrity, your word, what you say you're going to do. It's not all that common these days.
No, it's not.
Even in ministry, it's unfortunately... and so I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I mean it with all my heart. And I want to say thank you that you all have been a partner with us for all these years, because you have a part in all the fruit that's been reaped. And I mean, it's almost impossible to exaggerate how much fruit has been reaped in all of these years that we've been in the former Soviet Union. It's 35 years, 35 years, wow. John. And we continue to work together.
So you and Denise, when the wall came down, former Soviet Union, y'all were right in there.
We were.
Why don't you tell us a little bit? Like, tell us, you know, like what's going on in Russia and all that. Also, just like in your ministry, y'all have a TV show as well.
We do.
It's on the Victory Channel, so y'all can tune into that. And if you haven't seen their show already, it's a great show. Tune into that on Victory. You're on some other networks as well. You have your own network, right?
We have two networks.
Two networks.
Yeah. God is really working in Russia. You know, we have seen history radically change. When we moved to the former Soviet Union, it was a country which was completely dilapidated. Today, things are radically changing. And I'm going to tell you, things are doing good in Russia. And I believe this is the best time for the gospel. In the early years, there was a supernatural openness. I mean, you could have a meeting and thousands of people would come. But I really believe the very best fruit is being reaped right now. And John, our church is so solid. And now we're planting churches all over Russia. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have an online church. And it's not just online broadcast. It is a full church in the Russian language. It's got women's ministry, men's ministry, children's ministry, counselors, home groups.
Wow.
John, we have 300,000 members of our online church.
Wow.
300,000.
Is that mostly in Russia or?
It's all over the world.
Russia,
wherever there are Ukraine, Russian speakers. We've got a big contingent in South America and Asia, anywhere there's Russian speakers and where they don't have a church. And so we have become the church for 300,000 people, and we're on track to reach 500,000 members of our online church. I mean, I think that's amazing.
That is amazing.
And now, because all the online people are finding each other, they're wanting to meet together in groups. And we have big groups of online people, we're starting churches. And so this thing is just growing and growing and growing.
That's amazing.
And we bought a network several years ago, transformed that network, and now we're broadcasting you all. We broadcast a lot of our friends. And then a year and a half ago, the door opened for us to start what is called a federal channel. A federal channel is a channel which goes into every single home in the country of Russia, which is 11 time zones. That channel is a little different. It is 100% Russian broadcasters. It's very styled. It's a Russian style. It's a lot of talk shows. And you'll understand this, but we are producing 16 original broadcasts every week. I mean, that is mammoth
work. That's a lot of content.
We have people from the government. We have people from the Orthodox Church. Every layer of society is coming to be on our channel. And, John, it's amazing. I mean, if you think where all this began, I would have never known that it would lead to this. But I really believe we're reaping the best fruit we have ever reaped. And again, thank you for being a part.
Oh, it's awesome. No, it's been great. You and Denise have just been rock steady, solid all these years. I've never heard one controversy. I've never heard one hiccup, you know? And it's like nothing but straight, steady, loving God. What do you want me to do today, God? Kind of the way mom and dad have always been, right? They didn't dream all this up. It was ever be like this, but they just, every day, what do you want us to do next? And that's still what you're doing. You did it with the church. Now you're doing it with the networks. Now you're doing it with the online church. So I just want to tell you, man, I a lot of respect for you and Denise. Well, she's awesome.
John,
she's
thank awesome. You for that. Denise is getting better and better.
Yeah. Like fine wine.
That's it. I was going to say that. Thank you.
So this book. Now, this book that we're going to be offering this week, Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. Like, what inspired you for this book?
Well, first of all, I want to say this is a supernatural book. I wrote it in 15 days. I mean, even for me, I write a lot of books. But when I hit the final period, I was like, wow, how did that happen? And it was done. But what started all of this was I saw a video. And it was a video of a man who claimed that he found the ruins of Noah's Ark. And John, I laughed. I was a skeptic. I thought, that is so ridiculous. And you know, I could not shake that. And that stayed with me for years and years and years. And then I began to see some things show up on social media about the ruins of Noah's Ark. So I found out who was the guy who is the curator of that site. And I called him. And I said, I want to come. I want to spend time in the mountains of Ararat, and I want to personally see if these really are the ruins of Noah's Ark. So I loaded up my camera crew, and off we went.
So the mountains of Ararat, are they in Turkey?
They're in eastern Turkey.
Eastern Turkey.
One good thing about living in Moscow is it's so close to the Middle East. I mean, in just a couple hours, I can be anywhere. And so my team and I got on a plane. We flew to Istanbul. Changed planes, flew all the way to the east of Turkey. And there's a reason people don't go there. I mean, you got to really work to get there. And when you get there, there's not a lot of fine hotels. It's pretty remote. I mean, it's actually very remote. In the past, there was a lot of kidnapping that took place there, but today it's better. So I went to the eastern mountains of Mount Ararat. The mountains of Ararat are huge. Now, people think that it landed on Mount Ararat. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says it landed in the mountains of Ararat. And that is exactly where these ruins are. It's on a lower mountain in the mountains of Ararat. And John, it is amazing that on the Ark, there were what was called drogue stones. Drogue stones were these massive, massive stones that hung from the side of the ship to balance the ship in bad weather. Well, in the valley, just below where the ruins of Noah's Ark are these massive drogue stones. And as the water began to go down and Noah's boat began to move slower, he and his boys began to cut those stones. Well, guess what? You can follow those stones just like breadcrumbs.
Is that a trail?
And you can follow the trail exactly how the Ark sailed into that region, turned right, and came to rest in the lower mountains of Ararat. Well, people have been looking for it on Mount Ararat. It's impossible. Mount Ararat is a stratovolcano. And even if it had landed on Mount Ararat, which probably didn't exist at the time of the flood, it would have been blown to bits. It would have been covered with lava. It could have never survived. But it didn't land there. It landed in the mountains of Ararat. And something else really interesting is the British Museum just recently came across a cuneiform map, a Babylonian map. And when they flipped it over on the other side, they found an ancient map that shows exactly where Noah's Ark came to rest. And it is exactly where the ruins are in the lower mountains of Ararat.
Wow. Is the media, mainstream media, cover this at all?
Oh, there's media coverage all over the world. British press, Israeli press, Turkish. Yeah. Oh, all over.
I've seen it on social media, on your, like, your page and stuff.
Well, they just did it on Fox News. I think my book has kind of helped bring it to light. I mean, people are really beginning to pay attention. So on the lower mountains of Ararat, there is a structure that is 300 cubits long. Now, when the ark landed, it landed higher, and you can go up to what is called the landing place, and guess what? It is right next to the Iranian border. So we went there with our film crew, and at the very top of the Iranian border are all these Iranian guards. If you point your cameras in that direction, they point their guns at you, so you can't film in that direction. But the ark landed there, and then over all these years, it has slid down the mud. And John, the whole side of that mountain is mud. It is mud from the flood to this day. And it slid down to its present location. And then it was covered by dirt and it disappeared from history. Well, in May 1948, the same month that Israel was reestablished as a nation, there was an earthquake. And the earthquake shook the mud off the top of that object. And it became obvious that these were the ruins of a ship in the lower mountains of Ararat. And they were doing new maps for the region because of this earthquake. And the planes that flew overhead took pictures of the geography. And when the specialists saw this, they said, "What? What? What is this?" And I've got pictures of it in this book. They said, "That is a ship in the mountains of Ararat." So they took those photographs and they sent them to the man who was a satellite specialist, the same man who found all the Soviet missiles during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he said, "You are looking at the ruins of a ship, exactly 300 cubits long." So I said to the curator, "Are you sure this is Noah's Ark?" He said, "Well, let me answer it like this. We're very far from the sea. We're in the mountains of Ararat, and it's 300 cubits long. And now, due to underground ground-penetrating radar, we know exactly there are three decks. There are rooms." He said, "Do you know any other ship that should be in the mountains of Ararat?" I said, "Come to think of it, I don't know another one." He said, "So you decide if it's Noah's Ark." But John, it really is. And when you see it from the perspective of a drone, it puts every doubt to bed.
It's a ship.
It's a ship.
So why do you think God's revealing this now?
I think that God is speaking prophetically to the world. And I believe that the news of Noah's Ark, it's going to become more and more and more pronounced. People are going to hear more about it. Now there's a big, big symposium every year, which our ministry helped to underwrite, which is called Noah's Ark and Mount Ararat. And all these scientists come together from around the world to discuss these ruins. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days just before the coming of the Son of Man." And I really believe that Noah's Ark has reappeared to remind us of what was happening before the flood and as a prophetic declaration that we really have come to the end of the age. I believe we're right there.
I believe we are too. And it's almost like, "Oh yeah, really? Why would it come? What are the odds it's going to come in my life?" Right? I mean, because we've been expecting him to come for 2,000 years.
Right.
And so that'd be kind of like, "Really? He's going to come while I'm here? Or my kids are here? Or my grandkids are here?" But man, everything points to that. It's like, so tell us, like, what was it like? Because the Bible says it'll be like it was before the flood.
Can I talk a little bit more about Noah's Ark?
Oh, yeah. No, you go direction you want to go.
Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis that when Noah exited the ark, He and his boys built the very first city. Well, in the cliffs, just above Noah's Ark, are the ruins of what looks like was the first village ever built after the flood. Is that amazing?
That is amazing.
And as the water continued to decrease and the animals continued to go down, Noah and his family eventually located to the valley below. And in the valley below Noah's Ark, there is a house, which is thousands upon thousands and thousands of years old. And the Byzantines built a church on top of it to commemorate it. And they said that it was the place where Noah and his family lived when they left the Mount of Ararat and they moved down into the valley below. John, when you go to this site, everything about the Bible just comes alive. And I said to my wife, I need to go back to Noah's Ark. Once you have been there, it's like there's a call to come back to that place. And to think that from there, it all started again. And when you go to Noah's Ark and you walk across the top of that massive, massive structure, and first of all, when you go down the hill, I took Denise with me. I mean, it's a pretty rigorous deal to do. But when you go down the hill to the bottom, you got to cross a huge gully that's been washed out. And when you come around to the bottom of the ark and look up, John, your mouth just falls open. The ark is so enormous. It is enormous. What God called him and his family to do is just mind-boggling. And then when you begin to walk the whole perimeter of it.
It took him, like, what, 100?
Took 100 years.
100 years?
He started building when he was 500. They entered into the ark when they were 600. And he had to be a rich man. I mean, he had to be a very wealthy man because of the resources, the materials that were required to build that ark. And do you know, the Bible tells us that it was gopher wood. Nobody ever knew what gopher wood is. Well, now we know what gopher wood is because they've taken pieces of petrified wood from the ark. They've analyzed it. It is laminated wood. God gave to Noah the ability to make laminated wood, which is watertight. It's water repellent. There's no such thing as gopher wood, but it was laminated wood. They have found rivets. I mean, they have found all kinds of things. And with the ground penetrating radar, they can actually follow the whole rib cage of the ship. And now, because the earth is beginning to fall out from the ark, the sides of the ark just stand out and you can follow the ribs of the ark. I mean, John, it is amazing.
Are they going to excavate it?
They are starting the excavations right now and they're being very, very careful.
Same with the little town above and in the house below. I would assume they'd want to excavate.
They're really focusing just on the ark. But they have to be careful because that's a very political area between Turkey and Armenia. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got to really be careful there. But they now have permissions to begin excavations. And I'm so thankful that my friend Andrew Jones is the curator. And I've spent 2 months there, John, with my team filming, going back to film again. I just needed to really be sure, is this real, before I published a book and say that it's real. But I want to tell you, it really is the real deal.
That is amazing. And it's like, yeah, we're living in this time.
We are.
You know, it's like to think about everything that's going on right now. And I believe revival is here and coming to America and the world. You know, this year, 2026, God gave my dad the word that it's the year of the big fix. And so he says in September, you watch, that's going to be the beginning of a peace across the land. And so it's going to be interesting to see. It's like we're living in biblical times.
We are.
We really, really are. And when stuff like this is being discovered, then it's like God's going to show himself. People are going to have to choose, but they're going to have a choice that is a very distinct black and white choice. Do you choose God or do you not? But he's revealing himself to give, you know, he's a merciful God.
He is.
Right?
He is.
I want to give everybody an opportunity to see that this is real, that I'm real, and people are going to have a choice. And I think we're already seeing that gray area is going away. It's literally in our society. We see good and evil.
We do.
You know, we see somebody who Charlie Kirk gets murdered and the whole country mourns for him. And the whole other side of the country cheers. you know, somebody's murder. Like how, it's like the line is very distinct now.
Well, Isaiah 5:20 says at the end of the age, people will call darkness light and they'll call light darkness. Mm-hmm. And we really are living in an age of confusion. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, beware that no man deceive you. And that word deceive is the Greek word planeo. And it describes a moral wandering at the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And between the Old and the New Testament, the intertestamental period, some people say God wasn't speaking in those years, but God's always speaking.
He's always speaking.
And there were people in those years who wrote very accurately that you'll know when it's the end of the age because spirits of delusion will be released into society. So just yesterday, Denise and I were watching the news, and there was a senatorial hearing. And they asked a doctor, can a man have a baby? The doctor refused to answer that question. I mean, such delusion,
it's delusion
has been released in society. You can't answer a question about if a man can have a baby or not. And talk about delusion when people don't know whether they're a man or a woman. I mean, we're really living in an age of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's what was happening in the world before the flood. And maybe in the next program, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you before we were done here today, over the next 4 days after this, kind of just hit on some of the topics that we're going to cover during this time, what, you know, before the flood, what it was like, Nephilim.
Okay, we'll
giants,
do it. But I got to take you
monsters.
To some interesting places. Are you okay with that?
Man, that's why we're here.
All right.
Let's bring it.
I will love to do a deep dive with
you. Yeah, just kind of cover like the bullet points of where you see this week going.
Okay.
So the people want to tune in and hear that.
Well, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be again at the very end, just before the coming of the Son of Man. So if we want to know what's going to happen in front of us, it means we have to turn around to see what happened in the days before mm-hmm. the flood. Because the Greek literally says there will be a replication, a replication. So whatever was happening then is going to happen now into the end of the age. And John, that means nutty has just begun. We're going to see some nutty stuff between now and the end of the age. And this scares some people, but God's not in the business of scaring people. God's in the business of preparing people.
So the end of the age, is that where the resurrection is?
The resurrection, the rapture of the church. And I believe this is important to study because people are asking questions, and as things get even nuttier, people get scared. But when you know what the Bible says, it gives you peace. You're able to say, oh, well, the Bible told us this would happen.
How could people make it without God?
John, I don't know.
I had this conversation recently with somebody. It's like, if you didn't have God, how would you have any hope? Like, I mean, worst case scenario for us, we die, go to heaven, right?
Right.
But if you have no God, how do you have any hope? And I think that's why people get behind some of these, I'm going to protest this and I'm going to protest that, because they have no purpose. So they have to find some kind of purpose in something, right? And they're going to do it for a cause, or they're going to do it for whatever. But it's like, man, I would hate to go through this world without hope.
Well, I'm glad we have hope.
And we are not a people without hope. You have hope. If you have Jesus, you have hope. There's no reason to be scared any of this stuff that's coming, because God knew from the beginning that this was coming. The people that are going to be here are going to, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. It won't come near me. That's where you have hope. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Do you watch the news or scroll on social media and think we've got to be in the end times? Because I know I have. And I've heard Rick Renner talk about how the end times would feel like the days of Noah. And he wrote a book all about that time period, The World Before the Flood. In Rick Renner's newest book, he teaches on fallen angels, giants, Nephilim, a pre-flood world, and what that means for us as believers. This book helps us to uncover the world as it was before the flood, a time when fallen angels and giants roam the earth. Using archaeology and historical analysis, Rick Rinner takes you through this time period and shows you all about pre-flood civilization, where Noah's Ark currently resides, and the spiritual corruption that led to God unleashing the flood on the world. And the most interesting of it all is how it connects to modern-day spiritual conditions and end-time prophecy. This is a book you definitely don't want to miss. Order your copy today by visiting us on our website or by calling the number on your screen.
Get your copy of Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood, book by Rick Rinner, for $22.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Discover the truth rooted in Scripture. This book is a powerful warning, a message of hope, and a call to spiritual awareness for believers around the world today. Shipping charges may apply. This offer is good for 30 days.
The things that Rick Rinner is teaching us all this week is in this book right here that we're offering. The title really grabs your attention, Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. And so what happened back then? God said, as it was in the before the flood, is going to happen again. So we all need to have an understanding of that, but no fear of that. I think that's a big key. Rick, why don't you tell me, like, when they read this book, the takeaways that they're going to get from that?
First of all, it's going to open the Bible to them. There's a lot of things about history that people can't answer. A lot of the answers are in this book. And it will give people peace about what they're seeing happening in the world right now, because there's nutty stuff going on in the world, and people are saying, why? Well, Jesus said what was happening in the world before the flood is going to happen again at the end of the age, and that's what we're seeing. But, you know, I said earlier, God's not in the business of scaring us, but he is in the business of preparing us. And when you read this book, anybody who reads this book, you're going to feel much more prepared. And it is going to answer questions that you've been asking for a long time about aliens, giants, Nephilim. It is an amazing book.
We're going to get into that, too, this week, because I got some questions that conspiracy, not conspiracy. Is it a conspiracy until it's true? Right? So I've been excited about doing this week because I want some of those questions answered for me. And I think with what we talked about with the Ark today, that's just amazing stuff that we are actually living in this time that this is being revealed to people. And so y'all be sure and tune in with us, because it's going to be a great, great week this week. Go get this book, kcm.org. Rick, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to let you know that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.